you know, when I was first saved and got in church and got away from all the music that was entertaining me in my lost state and began to incorporate gospel music into my life, that's one of the songs, Sister Ginger, that had an impact upon me because such a telling question of, you know, we look around and there are, quote, so many in Christianity, so many in church, but there's not many in the field out there working for the Lord. So that should be a prayer of ours. And I think we may actually find the reason for that in my message today. Turn to Leviticus chapter 6. Leviticus chapter 6. I want to look at a few verses in this chapter and pull a thought from it. Leviticus chapter 6. There again, God's Word has what we need every day for our lives. Sometimes the Word of God gladdens our hearts. It comforts us in our sorrow, but there are other times when it challenges us and also convicts us in our sinfulness. And I'm grateful for the Word of God that it does all that. It's a living Word. It amazes me. It knows exactly where to touch my heart or cut into my life. So I want to look at this these verses now, Leviticus chapter 6. Let's start at verse 8. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put on upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire had consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments and put on other garments and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat and the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out." Notice what that verse 13 says. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Did you know what the number one reasons that most pastors and missionaries and even preachers quit the ministry? Do you know what the number one reason is why many husbands and wives quit their marriage? Or maybe some worker quits their job or some student quits going to school. You know what the number one reason is? Now, it isn't what you may be thinking. It isn't really sin. It isn't money. It isn't sickness. You know what the number one reason that people quit things? They burn out. They just wear out. They get tired. They burn out. Have you ever been there? You see, even what you're doing may be good, but there comes a time to where you just burn out. You let the fire go out. I've used the illustration many times here about Tom Dalton, who lived over in the Blue Ridge Mountains, who started a fire nearly 200 years ago. And him and his family, for the last 200 years, generation after generation, they've kept the fire going. They've kept it burning. And that's not an easy feat to do because they've had to move that fire from cabin to cabin over time. As one cabin would deteriorate, they would move it to another dwelling place. They had to cut at least a cord of wood every week to keep it burning. And then somebody had to watch it all the time. I mean, attention had to be paid to that fire. And they have done that. And somebody asked them in an interview, "Why would you do such a thing?" Think about all the labor that's involved. The cost that's involved of, getting the wood in and just basically the worry of watching it. Somebody said, "Why would you continue to keep that fire going?" And the person that is in charge of it now said, "Because I don't want to be the person or the generation that lets it go out." And I thought about that. Wow, they didn't want to be the ones to let it burn out. What about me and you today? What about the fire that God has put inside of us? Is it still burning? That's what this message is about. You see, I believe there are some fires that ought to be burning at all times. And the one that we see here in our text here in Leviticus chapter 6, it says in verse 13, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. What would happen if it went out? What would be the results if through neglect or whatever, they let this fire cease to burn every day, every morning, and every night? What would be the cost of that? Well, I think there is a cost. There will be a result. And I think there's even reasons to why and how it could possibly be burnt out, just go out. Well, let's pick up the setting there in verse 8. We know the background of the book of Leviticus, named after the tribe of the Levites, the background on the Levitical worship. You know the place that God told Moses to build a tabernacle, a tent house that God may be worshipped at. We know that tabernacle was designed by God. It was built by Moses and the children of Israel as they were wandering the wilderness time after they come out of Egypt there. We know the stories about the tents and the boards and the curtains and the furnishings and the sockets. And those of you that are reading your Bible through, you know what I'm talking about. All the details, you know, all the bolts and nuts of this worship place are mentioned there in the Bible. You see, it amazes me. God had a place for His people to worship. And I think God always has had that. You know, being an altar built out of stone, being in a tabernacle, or being in the church today unto which He gets glory. You see, God had a place that He wanted His people to meet to worship Him. And then you think about those that were involved in it. I mentioned the Levitical tribe. We know that God prepared a people. He had Aaron and his sons. Aaron was going to be the high priest. Later on, passed that on to his children. They were going to be involved in the priesthood, in the religious worship of the tabernacle there. And then God chose, out of the 12 tribes of Israel, He chose the Levitical tribe, the tribe of Levi. He said, I'm going to take them from among my people Israel, and they are going to be the servants in the house of God. So there again, I think about this. God had a place, a particular place that He wanted to get worship and honor and glory through. He had a people that He wanted to use to serve and worship Him. God has that today. You're it. The children of God. I mean, we are the desired people to worship God. And then God had a process. When you get into the book of the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, you see all the various things they had to do to worship God at that tabernacle. All the offerings and the sacrifices that were going to be offered up there. There was to be an altar and all the various furnishings as you study the tabernacle. They all had meanings and significance. But the first thing that you noticed when you went into that tabernacle was this brazen altar there. That was the place where the sacrifices and the offerings were going to be placed. You see, God gave precise instructions. I mean, I used to deer hunt a lot, and I could pretty well, Brother Richard, we can cut up deer. We know how to, you know, get that tube steak down that spine and cut up them roast. But now when they had to cut up and put an offering on that altar, it amazes me. I mean, they just didn't take that animal and drain the blood, slit its throat, drain the blood, and throw it up. No, they had to cut it up in a precise way. So God had instructions about this altar and the sacrifices that were going to be put upon it. He said every morning and every evening there was going to be a sacrifice placed on this altar here. So everything's ready. I can just imagine Moses and them, they spent days and months and maybe years getting it all built. And then they erect it all. And they get all the furnishing. Everything's in place. And then that first offering is brought in there and placed upon that altar. And they wait, and something amazing happens if you go to chapter 9. Look at chapter 9, verse 24. Notice, I believe it is God that actually ignites this thing. Notice verse 24. When the offering, everything had been done, it says, and there came fire out from before the Lord, and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. Can you imagine? You're sitting back there, and then all of a sudden everything's ready, and then a fire comes out from God and consumes this offering there. And when the people, all they could do was just fall down and worship God. They were amazed, awed at what had just taken place. You see, they had seen that the instructions of building this tabernacle and the altar and the sacrifices, and then God ignites it. His fire comes down upon it. You see, this thing was important to God. The way that they were going to worship God, especially through the sacrifices upon this altar and the fire burning it, that was important to God. I mean, two of Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, they offered strange fire and God just killed them dead. Brother Randy, I'm glad God is merciful today. Man, could you imagine if you was the pastor or the preacher up here and you messed up? You slipped up and pronounced the word the wrong way, zap, and he zapped you. I'd be dead every time I preach. Amen, Sister Stephanie? But you see, this thing was important. God means business when it comes to worshiping Him. This fire was important to God. Everything was to be done the only way that God said it had to be done. If you were going to come to God under that tabernacle worship system, the altar was the first thing, the sacrifice had to be made. It's the only way that you could come to God then. It's kind of like us coming to Christ today. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way. It's no different than somebody today saying, I can get to God, I can get to heaven by some other route. I don't need this Jesus thing. Well, let me assure you, God means business about this Jesus thing. He means business about the cross of Calvary. It's the only way you're ever going to get to God. You cannot come to God outside of Jesus Christ. The Jews back then, they could not come to worship God and bypass this altar and this sacrifice here. So we got this fire is burning. The sacrifice has been offered. And in verse 13, it says, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Wow. Think about the priest's responsibility when they were told just to keep the fire burning. Why? Why was this so needful? Well, listen, for them, the very work of God could continue on as long as that fire was burning. The very grace of God, the forgiveness of God, when they came and brought their sacrifices and offered it to God and asked for forgiveness, listen, that was all important to them back there. The very witness of God was at stake here. I mean, that altar fire had to be burning. If you was an Israelite, a Jewish individual, and you came to the tabernacle, and you got there that morning, and you got your little old sacrifice with you, and you're coming to God, and you're pleading for mercy and forgiveness, or for blessings and grace, and you get there, and you look, and there's no fire on the altar. You see, it was the priest's responsibility. They had to keep that fire going. To them, that fire represented when a Jewish person walked up to that tabernacle and they saw the smoke from that fire. To them, in their mind, it represented the very presence of God and His peace and His provision and His power and His holiness. It meant God to them. Wow, what a responsibility that those priests had to keep this fire going, but what a privilege. What a privilege it must have been to them to have it prepared and everything ready in the morning. And then to see the people line up with hope in their eyes and in their heart, bringing their sacrifices to God. What a privilege that must have been to them. To know that in some way, God was using them and His great plan of worship. You see, they had a responsibility. And then I think about me and you. You say, Brother Terry, why preach about a tabernacle and the priest's responsibility and all that? Because did you know over in the book of 1 Peter, there in chapter 2, verse 5 through 9, if you read that, the Bible says that we are priests and kings unto God. That is our identity and our ministry in those two words. We are priests unto God. We have a great responsibility. God has placed a fire inside of us. And I believe we ought to keep that fire burning. The Bible tells us, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine. And it also says, ye are the light of the world. You go to Luke 24, verse 32, it says, did not our hearts burn within us when the two were speaking to Christ? Jeremiah says this, his words are burning in my soul. Jeremiah got to a point in his ministry where he would just burn out.
He said, I ain't doing that no more. I've quit. You know what he said? He couldn't, because there was a burning. There was a fire within him soul. God had placed that fire in him. God has placed that fire in you. And the question is that fire burning right now? Can you remember when you were saved and how that felt? You remember the fire that you felt burning inside of you? I remember when I first saved. Wow, what a night. I remember the next morning. I remember the weeks after that. I remember the love that I had for the things of God. Wow, for His house. I just wanted to worship Him. I was naive in all this church stuff that y'all know about. I'd never been to church, so all this didn't mean anything to me. But when I got saved, Sister Stephanie, God put a fire in my life, in my heart for the house of God. I wanted to be there Sunday school, Sunday preaching morning, Sunday night. We had BTC also on Sunday evening. We had Wednesday night. It disappointed me that we didn't have church every night. I didn't understand. Why don't we do this on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday? I mean, this is great. I had a love for the things of God. This holy book, man. I'd read other books throughout my life, but when I got saved, I got this book. And I wanted to read it. I loved reading the Word of God. All the new things that I were learning, my head was so empty with all the stuff that needed to be filled. And I'd read and I'd eat upon it and feed upon it, and it would go into my life. I was on fire and loved the house of God and His Word. Oh, I loved those. Remember how it was when you used to love to pray to Him? You made the opportunity to find you some quiet place where you could be still and just talk to Him. Greatest moments of my life in ministry was beside a little old bed, kneeling on a floor by myself talking to God. You remember when you were saved, how you loved to worship? Remember when that fire was in you? Or when you loved to witness to people? I didn't know the world didn't want to know what happened to me. I just want to tell people about Jesus saving me. It didn't matter who they were. I wanted to talk to them. I wanted to leave a track. I didn't have to remind myself, well, put a track in your pocket. No, they would be full, and I didn't have to say, well, you ought to give. No, it was automatic. I mean, I love witnessing to people, visitation, going out, just door knocking on strangers' houses in the middle of the night. Wow, that's what it was all about. I loved doing that. Why? Because there was a fire put inside of me when I got saved by the grace of God for His worship and to witness, to work at the church there, to cut the grass, to clean the church, to do whatever needed to be done, to try to sing, to try to teach. Listen, I had a love for the things of God and worshiping Him, being a witness for Him, and trying to work for Him. Wow. I remember how it was when I got saved. I loved trying to live like Him. Man, I had a lot to clean up. This isn't the finished product, but it's definitely better than what it was 40 years ago. There was so much garbage in my life, so many things that had to be moved out. I just wanted to learn, if Jesus would do it, I want to do it. You see, that's the fire. That there's a time when that fire was burning bright inside of me. But what about today? Let's be honest. What about you? Is the fire burning as bright in your life for Christ right now as it did in the past? Or has something happened? Has the fire went out? Has something allowed it to burn low in your life or gone out completely? You see, here there's a warning. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. But you know the fire went out. You read on in the books of the Word of God and you'll find out that there come a time when the fire went out and the doors were closed there at God's worship house. And I begin to think, why did they let it go out? What was the reason for them letting those priests, letting that fire go out? That was so important. Could it have been some pleasure? Maybe they were enjoying other things. Maybe it got old to them.
Maybe you just woke up one day and you said, you know what, I'd rather go out and play outside. I'd rather go enjoy time with my family. My friends, old friends are here today, so I'll pay more attention to them. Maybe their job. Something come in their life, maybe pleasure, maybe some problem, sickness, just problems of everyday life. They woke up, gonna say their car wouldn't crank, but they didn't have car. Their mule wouldn't crank to get to work. You know, just problems, everyday problems. Maybe it was just a bad day for them. Maybe health-wise, sickness, finances. Maybe procrastination. One day they thought, you know what, somebody else will light it. Somebody else will keep it going. I'm just too lazy today to deal with it. Or maybe they rose up in the ranks of servants and said, you know, I'm too important to worry about the woodwork to making the fire. Listen, I'm better than that. That's beneath me now. You see, I don't know the reason. It could have been one of these or many of them, but the fire went out. And you know what? They could not blame anybody but themselves. I'm sure some might have said, well, he or she made me mad at the tabernacle, and I ain't going to put the fire. I ain't going to do it any longer. I didn't get my way. The way they want to do it's wrong. Well, they ignored me the last time I did it and didn't say anything. See, they could have said that. Or they may have said, you know, well, it was my husband's fault or my wife's fault. It's the children, you know, of course the parents. Oh, my friends, my enemies, you see. They could have blamed it on a host of reasons and individuals. But you know what? If the fire went out, it was their fault. They're the ones that let it go out. And I say the same to me and you today. If the fire that God has put in our heart, in our life, to worship Him and serve Him and being a witness for Him and work for Him, if it isn't burning as bright this morning as it has in the past, you can't blame it on anybody. It's your fault. I like a poem that somebody wrote. It says, are you on fire for God? Or does the flame burn low? Are the red embers burning out till there is no more glow? Why has the fire burnt out? Why is the flame all gone? Simply because there's no more fuel to keep it burning on. You see, maybe your fire is not burning as brightly or even went out. Simply because you're not entertaining yourself with the things of God like you used to. You get out of church. You get away from this book. You get off your knees. You quit witnessing to people. You decide you're not going to live for God. And you know what's going to happen? The fire is going to go out. There are people that used to fill these pews here. I can still see their faces, but you know what? They're back out in the world. I know people that were here who were gung-ho on fire, going to change the world for Christ. But they've given up. They've quit. And the only one they can blame is themselves. You see, we can't blame it on anybody else. So quit let us making excuses for all the reasons why our fires burn out. And simply look at ourselves. You see, recklessness will happen. What's the result? What happens in verse 13 if the fire goes out? The high priest cannot perform his ministry. The priest can't minister to the people. You see, back then, that's how they approached God. Through that sacrifice, that offering on that fire. What happens if we let the fire burn out in our life? There are still going to be sinful men who are doomed, who never hear the gospel. They are going to be hopeless men who find no help in hope in this world. There are going to be people who are hurting, who's never going to find joy in their hearts and their life if our fire goes out. You see, it's important. Is your life, is that fire still burning? If Jesus Himself come through that back door and started walking up this aisle and stopped and looked at each one of you and just asked you, is your fire still burning as bright as it was? What would your answer be?
What would you tell him looking into his eyes? If he said, is it growing or is it going dim? Or has it gone out? You see, what would the results be when our fire goes out for those around us? You say, Brother Terry, wow, you have touched my heart. God's word in this message has pointed me out. Ain't it amazing? You can sit in a pew, a bunch of people, but yet God has a way of fingering you. He just points it right at you. And maybe that's you right now. So what happens if we let the fire go out? If somehow, for whatever reason or rhyme, we're not what we used to be for God. We're not on fire like we used to. How do you remedy that? Well, it's very simple. You just rekindle the fire. First off, you just confess, Lord, it's going out or it's gone out. That's hard to do at times. See, I can make it look like I'm still on fire from God, from your eyes, but I know how God sees me. So the first thing we got to do is confess, Lord, it's gone out, or it's getting dimmer. And then you got to commit yourself to Him and His things. You got to get back into His word and His will for your life. I built a number of fires. Actually, I loved building fires. Kind of bad to say, but I built some fires and fireplaces and in the woods camping and all. And you get it all roaring. It feels good and it's glowing. It's bright. But after a while, it begins to simmer down. And then before long, if you don't take care of it, it's nearly out. Have you ever went up to a fire that's nearly out to get it resurrected? What do? You begin to blow on it. Kind of fan the embers. You blow upon that little glimmer there, and it begins to glow and grow. Maybe that's what the Holy Spirit needs to do in our lives this morning. Maybe the Holy Spirit, the living God, just needs to fan our hearts. Blow upon that flame that is just dimming and get it burning bright again. You see, it was important back then that this fire never go out. I think it's important in our lives. Has that fire ever been lit through salvation? I hope everybody here is saved. I look out. Most of you have made a profession of faith. I pray that you can go back somewhere in your past and know that you asked Jesus Christ to become your Savior. Accepted what He did on the cross and asked to be saved from your sins. I pray all have had that experience. But is it still burning as bright as it used to? Or do you need to just simply come and say, Lord, it's going out. Maybe you need to come and kneel up here at an altar during the invitation. Say, God, it ain't like it used to be. That's the first step. Saying, Lord, it just ain't what it used to be. But God, by your grace and by your spirit and by your word, blow upon my life again. Move in my life again. God, get the fire to burning again so that people around me can take notice. In a darkened world that we live in this morning, if they've ever needed the fire of God's children burning so brightly that they can see Christ in us, it is right now, right here, this morning. Maybe you just need to come and get your fire relit. Let the Holy Spirit move in your life and in your heart and do whatever God wants you to do. The fire shall never go out. That's what God wants in our life. Bow your heads just for a moment.